This week, my guest is someone who is all about living boldly.
I'm Cameron. I spent years building my career and creating a life I loved. And when my Prince Charming finally showed up, he had 4 kids in tow. Fast forward through lots of mistakes made and lessons learned, stepfamily life was much more complicated than I realized. If you're looking for help with blended family life, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Stepmom Diaries, where we keep it real as we dish about all the things. This is your weekly dose of blended family inspiration and encouragement. You're not the wicked stepmother, so let me help you find your fairy tale ending. Come on, let's do this.
Hello, hello. This week, I am bringing back Jessica Frew. You may remember her from episode 29. Jessica is a wife, an ex-wife, a mom, a stepmom, and a self-described bold action taker. Jessica has a unique story in that her first husband came out as gay. She took the breakdown of her marriage and her subsequent remarriage and has used her experiences to help other people to live boldly. Jessica has a successful podcast called Husband in Law that she records with her husband Matt and her ex-husband Steve. Together, they share their stories of love, marriage, coming out, divorce, remarriage, and co-parenting to help others know that they are not alone. She owns The Bold Logic, which is a company devoted to helping people figure out the what now after a betrayal or having a partner come out. Jessica's a firm believer that by knowing and understanding what it is that you really want in life, you can boldly create a life you love no matter what your circumstances are. I love Jessica's relentless optimism and her bold advice, and I am thrilled to have her back. So let's jump in.
Jessica, I am so glad to have you back. How fun.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always fun to see the people like from Instagram and social media and all the things and get to see them in real, well, not real life, but at least get to have an ongoing conversation with them.
Yes. And I, you know, it's so much fun too, because you were a guest back on episode 29, I think. And, you know, you were also at our first Stepmom Summit and our second Stepmom Summit. And then this year at our third Stepmom Summit. So it's so fun to be able to keep working with you year after year, because we just love what you do.
Likewise.
And speaking of, so you, I know that when you were here the first time, you told us kind of your origin story, but quick refresher on your background, you know, how you became a stepmom, because you've got such an interesting story.
Yeah. So the short version is I was married to my first husband for 7 years. And about 2 years into our marriage, he came out to me as gay. He had been in deep denial. We were both raised in a very conservative Christian religion. And so there was just no space for him to honestly accept that side of himself. And so a couple years in, he came out as gay and we decided to stay married for another 5 years. People are always like, what? You're crazy. And we may have been, but it gave us each space to kind of figure out who we were. We were young and we kind of had this safe little space to explore who we were and figure that out. And we really loved each other and had a lot of fun together and enjoyed each other's company. So 7 years into our marriage, he ended up having an affair. We tried to work things out. It was a hot, hot mess. And we ended up getting divorced. And in that, kind of deciding to have a type of divorce we'd never seen before, where we're really good friends. Just this past Easter, the most recent example, is we got together and I had been really sick up until the day before Easter. And I was like, all right, if we do anything for Easter, it's on you. And so him and his current partner showed up at my house. They did all the eggs. They hid everything. We did brunch together and it was amazing. And I should say in this, I have now been remarried for 10 years this June, which just like blows my mind that it's been 10 years already. And I have 2 stepkids. So I have a 16-year-old stepson, a 14-year-old stepdaughter, and then I have a daughter from my first marriage who is 13. So they are all like right there, 3 years apart from each other, and we are in the thick of teenagehood and all of the joys that come with co-parenting and step-parenting and all of that. And in that too, going back to when I married my second husband, there, I always say that it was harder than getting divorced. For me, it was so much harder. And I don't know if that's because I kind of had this idea of knowing that I might get divorced because my husband, my first husband, was gay. And so it was kind of just like, this marriage might end. Like, I knew that was a real possibility. Or if it was, if it's really just that hard, because second marriage and being a step parent is by far the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. So that is why I'm here. And I love the work that you guys do, is because I know stepmoms need that support.
Totally, totally. And you have been there. And kudos for dealing with three teenagers right now. I have the same dynamic, and all of mine are teenagers right now. And I, you know, God bless. It is, the teenage years are difficult.
It's a whole different ballgame.
Difficult. It's a whole different ballgame. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So you are a relationship crisis coach. Tell me what that means.
Yes. So I work with women who are experiencing crisis in their relationship. So I started out in a very specific niche of people who had had their partner come out, because there's just not support for it. It wasn't something you heard about. Like, I'd never heard about that until I was in it. And now you do hear about it more, just because we're talking about things and hopefully being more accepting. But I was like, this is a spot that needs to be filled. So I started working with women who have had a partner come out. And then I started getting messages from women, and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm feeling all these same things, but I haven't had a partner come out. They're like, why is that? And I'm like, well, you're experiencing betrayal or some sort of crisis in your relationship. And I call it crisis because a lot of us have a hard time admitting that it's betrayal or acknowledging that it's betrayal. And so it's more encompassing of, you could like not have been directly betrayed in any way, but there's still something off in your relationship that you're like, I don't know how to navigate this. And we kind of feel like when that happens, we're stuck on the top of a fence of, I don't know which side I'm going to go on, whether I'm staying in this relationship or leaving. But being on the top of that fence is painful. It's not a good place to be. And you're worried about, can I get down safely? Or am I going to jump off this fence and be very hurt in the process, and on either side of things? And so I help women, first of all, usually work through which side of the fence they actually want to be on, because we just assume we want to stay with our partner, but sometimes that's not the healthiest place for us to be. So we work through some of that. And then I also work moving forward, like what you want your life to look like now, whether you're in the relationship or not. How do you gain the clarity for yourself that you need and you want? And I think this is so applicable to stepmoms, because many of us have been through some sort of betrayal. Not all of us, but many of us have experienced some sort of crisis in our relationships. And even like, I feel like more damage was done to me at the beginning of my second marriage than, and like I experienced more crisis in myself than I did in my first marriage. Because in my first marriage, yes, there was an affair, and yes, all these things happened, and it was really, really hard. But also, it wasn't directed at me. Like, it wasn't about me. And I was able to separate that. Now, coming into the second marriage, it was a whole lot harder of all of these things that are coming up because of trauma from our first relationships now feels very direct and very painful. So that's the work I do. I always say it's so much fun, and people are like, what? And I'm like, it's fun just because I love it. And I get to see these women having amazing breakthroughs and taking ownership of their lives and embracing their power and their voice. And it's like the most amazing thing to me.
That is amazing. So tell me a little bit about, so when you talk about betrayal, right there, I think when most people think about betrayal in a relationship or a marriage, you think about cheating.
Yes.
But there are like a million different kinds of betrayal, including like betrayal of like you betraying yourself. So what is the most often kind of betrayal? What do you see most often?
So I deal with
the women that you work with.
I deal with a lot of infidelity. And infidelity looks different for everybody because we all have different boundaries on our specific relationship. So there is like, you know, sexual infidelity. There's emotional infidelity that is a really hard thing to tackle. And we try to like poo-poo it or say it's not that big of a deal. It's a big deal. And then also any sort of lying or deceit that has happened, whether it's about finances, about things like even with our kids, or I think about like even co-parenting, of not being completely upfront and honest about things that are happening in the co-parenting dynamic. All of those things are betrayal and they hurt. They are deep. And I think, again, when we don't see like an actual act of sexual betrayal, like physical betrayal, we negate how painful it is that our partner is lying to us or even like talking poorly about us behind our back. And again, that's one that can happen a lot in co-parenting as well, or step-parenting. You know, there can be those moments of them saying things that are very hurtful and probably not intended on their part, but it's still betrayal and that sort of crisis. So I think there's so many things that go into it, but it is hard oftentimes to say betrayal because we don't want to, it's like, we don't want to put that on their spouse. It took me until probably 2 years ago to be able to say that I've been through betrayal. And I'm like, yeah, my husband had an affair with somebody and all of these things. And even now, what happened at the beginning of mine and Matt's marriage, my second marriage, it was betrayal. Like it was betrayal and it hurt and it was hard, but it wasn't like he was having sex with somebody else. And it wasn't even like he was having an emotional affair with somebody else, but the things that he did were so hurtful. So.
And so how did you come back from that?
So I left one weekend. I was like, I am done. We were about a year into our marriage and it was just like I had given, and here comes that self-betrayal. Like, and this is what ultimately I had to own, is that I was feeding into what Matt was experiencing. So I was giving up who I was to try to be what he needed. And ultimately, he didn't even want me to be who he needed, but I was convinced that I needed to do this different and that different. And I had to show up differently as a stepmom. I needed to morph and give up the time with my daughter to be able to show up for my stepkids so that I could prove that I was worth keeping around, that I had a spot in this family. And at some point I was like, my greatest fear is not losing this man. And it's getting me emotional, like just thinking about it. I remember, you know, just that point of feeling like I lost who I was, and I'm not that person. Like I am somebody who is very self-aware and I set firm boundaries. I am very kind and loving, but also I know I have to set them for myself first. And I had just gotten so wrapped up in feeding into Matt's energy of his trauma from his first marriage that I couldn't see myself anymore. So I was like, I am so scared to lose who I am. That is the most important thing to me. And that's what I want my daughter to see, is me as a strong, confident woman, not giving away my power. That's like, I'm out. And so I left at like, Penny wasn't at my house. My daughter wasn't at my house that night. And I wrote Matt a note at like 2 a.m. And I was like, I'll be back for my stuff. I'm done. I can't do this. And the most heartbreaking part was he didn't fight me at all on it. He was like, done. Okay, cool. And so I was like, okay, this is over. Like, there's no fight. There's no question. And then the fight came within me. I was like, I know Matt and I are so good to each other. Like we are so well made for each other. And I know that I have given up my own self. Like I have betrayed myself in this relationship, and I'm going to go back into it and not give that away anymore. And it was little steps at a time. It was little things that I started taking back. It wasn't all at once saying, I will no longer do this and that and all the other, which you could do. That's fine. But for me, it was little steps of owning and recognizing this is the thing that's like carrying so much resentment and anger and bitterness. And it's because I'm letting people walk on me. I'm giving this away. And so I would recognize that. And I say, I'm no longer, you know, taking your kids to and from their mom's house, like that's on you. You need to deal with that because I don't want to be put in this situation where she's yelling at me or all these things like, this is your deal. You have to deal with it. And that's a hard thing to do. It's hard.
Really hard.
It is so hard. But I did things like that. And I saw the healing that came for me and then for my husband and I, and then between my stepkids, because they didn't have to worry about what's mom going to do when Jessica shows up. They didn't have to carry that. I stopped making their lunches for school, which was like gutting to me. Feeding people is like one of my love languages. But, and I'm making my daughter's lunch and my husband's lunch, and it's just like me. But I couldn't because their mom would show up and check their lunches every day. And so then there was like this weight on them and a weight on me of what is she going to say? And so I started letting go of these things and how it should look or what I should do. And I slowly became myself again. And the stronger I came and the happier and more at peace I was, it gave my husband space to realize he's okay and safe in this relationship too, because he was so freaked out. Like the second we got married, all of his past trauma came up. And so then he was like, oh my gosh, this woman isn't just going to leave me. I'm not failing. She's okay. I can be okay too. And so that was my journey of just reclaiming myself in these little ways that were huge.
Well, and the little things are huge. And I love that you're talking about this. And I appreciate you being so vulnerable with sharing your story, because I think that it is such a common refrain that we hear from stepmoms who get into it and realize that they have lost themselves, realize that they have gotten caught up in their partner's, you know, former trauma or trauma that mm-hmm. they have brought to the relationship. And it is so easy to let that go, let that build. And I think that for so many stepmoms, it's not clear how you should address that. There's not, I mean, and I think you and I both got into this because we thought that there were voices missing in the space that weren't speaking to us, right? And, you know, but I think that it's really hard when you are sort of in the middle of that kind of situation to pull yourself out of it, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, what an amazing story that you have to tell, that you were able to sort of take a step back and say, okay, this is what I need to do to preserve myself.
Yeah.
Because that's the hardest thing. It's really hard. And I know it's also common. I mean, most of my, I always have this discussion with friends of mine that have married someone who's been married before, and I had not been married before. So I didn't bring that experience to the table, but there is, when you have been married before, there is a lot of just stuff that you bring into your new marriage, right? I mean, it's natural. And especially if they're, relationship had a lot of stuff, I'm using my air quotes, in it, you know, like yeah. betrayal or cheating or financial stuff or whatever it is, it's totally natural that they bring that in. And it's really hard to sort of, you know, when you have some of those natural conflict points, shake them and say, you know, look, this is, I'm not her, this is a new relationship, you know, and not to get lost in fighting those battles, you know.
Yeah. And it took me time to realize that they weren't about me, of just separating myself again, because my first marriage, Steve being gay, was not about me. It was not about me. So it was,
yeah,
it was hard, but it was also easier to separate myself from his issues and to just support him in the ways he needed support. And after I came back to the relationship and started recognizing with my second husband, sorry, when I came back to that relationship and realized these things are really not about me. And they feel very direct about me. And one of those being, here's another example, is finances. His ex-wife had bankrupted him. And so he was very scared to share finances, even though he was so supportive of me being a stay-at-home mom and filling that role because our kids were itty-bitty. And that's, you know, where I wanted to be. He was so supportive of that, but he also couldn't give me, like, he wouldn't put me on his checking account, and he would write me checks, and I'd be like this. And then he'd be like, well, where did the money go? And I'm like, we have a family of five. It went towards groceries. It went towards getting kids clothes. It went towards their sports. Like, this doesn't go very far. And at that point, I mean, this is nuts, but my ex-husband and I still had a shared credit card in case there was an emergency with our daughter. And he'd be like, until you guys work through this, just use it how you need to and whatever, it'll be fine. Which, that was a gift, but also completely ridiculous that he had to step in and do that. But it's just, once I understood what Matt's ex-wife had done to him financially, I was like, okay, like,
now this makes sense.
Now I get this and realize this isn't about me. And let's take some baby steps here to bridge this gap so that you can feel trust in me and understand these things. And so it's that communication of, you know, bridging those things moving forward of this, all of these things. And so that was such a huge part of it for me, is recognizing in these different areas, like, this is his trauma response. It's not about me. It's impacting me. And I can be mad and upset and whatever, but I can also let go of that and have a logical conversation with him of, hey, and not just shaming him or not just getting pissed, but having a real conversation of, I can tell that this is bothering you and that you're having a hard time with this. Also, I'm feeling very left out and I'm feeling very like unsupported because I'm a stay-at-home mom and I buy everything for the house. Like, this doesn't feel like trust to me and I need you to put some trust in me. So, yeah.
And the financial issues, and I've done a little bit, I spoke on that at the last Stepmom Summit last year and have done some writing on the financial stuff because it is so complicated for stepfamilies. And I found that the financial issues and the tension that you have in a stepfamily around finances really is symbolic of other stuff that's going on, right?
Oh,
whether
yeah.
It's, you know, trust or baggage coming in from the prior relationship, whatever it is. And so I think you're right. Having that ability to open up communication and like really have some honest and frankly difficult conversations. I mean, nobody yeah. likes to talk about money, and especially there's a lot of trust stuff that comes up around money, you know? But being able to have some of those conversations is so important and improve the communication, you know?
Yes. And I think too, like what you're saying is about all these things, you know, they say the top three reasons people get divorced are finances, sex, and money. And I'm thinking, mm-hmm. or not money, communication. And I'm like, but right. all of those are solved when we're able to communicate. And so if we yes. start figuring out how to communicate with each other in a way that doesn't send us spiraling, that doesn't send us into a shame cycle, then we get to heal. And then we get to figure out what the actual root of the problem is, because it's usually not finances. There's some other thing going on here and we're using finances to control that, or we're using even sex or something to control or to figure out how to use those things. And so, yeah, I love that you point that out, that there's usually another base issue. It's not just the finances.
Yeah, totally. And it is, it's the communication part is so hard because, you know, with second families, I mean, you do have to be so much more intentional about everything. And that's not a natural place to exist, you know? Mm-hmm.
yeah. So many people to communicate through.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there's so much stuff that comes up for stepfamilies that you don't have to think about in a first family. And
yeah,
like, how do you kind of talk stepmoms and blended families through that process of like opening up the lines of communication and really, you know, kind of getting that into a more positive place?
One of the things that I really encourage people to focus on is giving yourself and the other person so much grace, because you're all going to make mistakes. Like, you're all going to forget to tell one person something, or you're going to forget, like, somebody's going to feel left out. Somebody, like, there's just so many things, or you're going to do the wrong thing because you're a parent and we make mistakes parenting. And instead of getting just pissed at the other parent, recognizing, okay, this is going to come back. I'm going to make a mistake. I need grace too. And instead, coming together and just saying, and also owning the problem when it happens. I will call Steve, my ex-husband, and be like, this is what happened. And he does the same thing to me. This is probably what you're going to hear about. This is the conversation, or this was the situation. Just want you to know, be prepared. you're probably going to hear something. But I think that in that, instead of just getting mad and showing up in grace and saying, okay, thank you for letting me know, they're more likely to tell you the next time. They're more likely to tell you all of the things that are going on, which is really what we want. And so that is the thing I always start with, is grace. And then second, gratitude. Express gratitude to the other person. First of all, it helps you see it of what they're actually contributing. It also helps you, it comes back to you more often. Not always, not always.
I love that though.
I think those two things, if you can try to latch on to those as much as possible, it really helps. And I say this knowing that on one side of my dynamic, co-parenting dynamic, I have a, like I said, my ex-husband and I, we all spend holidays together. And my vision was that Matt's ex-wife would be there too. And that is not how it is. We have pick up and drop off at the church. We only communicate through email. We, you know, like we have all of those very hard and firm boundaries to protect ourselves and the kids. And that's the best situation for everybody. And so I know that like it doesn't always work, but also even in that of saying, hey, thanks for letting me know about that. You can do that. Like that's not a big deal. And so I think that the more we can embrace grace and gratitude, the easier it makes any situation, even when that feels so hard because of the things that are going on in that dynamic.
Well, it's so true. And especially I love the point about grace, because it's easy to fall into the trap of, you know, somebody makes a mistake and you automatically get pissed about it and infer some kind of intent that's negative that maybe wasn't even there. And Craig and I talk about it a lot. It's like, you know, we'll jump to conclusions about each other. And it's like, why are we doing this? Like, mm-hmm. I think the baseline should always be that we have a positive intention towards each other because we love each other and like we're our people, you know?
Yes.
He's my person, I'm his person. So like, of course, why, you know, I would never say something and intend for it to be offensive or do something and intend to hurt him and vice versa. And so like, if we can get back to that place where we take every action on its face value without assuming something negative about what's behind it, then that's, you know, getting halfway towards a good place in terms of the grace,
it's
right?
It's huge. It's huge. And it goes so much farther than I think we recognize. And even if you're not a words of affirmation person, hearing those words is powerful and accepting. Mm-hmm. And again, like when I say grace for the other person, you need just as much grace for yourself. You're going to mess up. You're going to make mistakes. It's okay. It's okay. You are not 100%. Permanently damaging anybody. So just embracing like, okay, I didn't love how I showed up to that moment. I can apologize. I can change next time. I can do my best. I might make the same mistake again. It's okay. I'm going to be aware and do better. And so I think just mm-hmm. filling your life with that grace for everybody goes so far.
I love that. I love that. So tell us a little bit. So you spoke at this year's summit, which was amazing. And people can still get, if they missed the summit, they can still get an all access pass. And I will put a link in the show notes to that. But give like a quick little overview of what you talked about, because you talked about three things keeping you from healing. And I love that. I love that, the name of that. So give us a little bit of an overview of what you talked about.
Yeah. I really firmly believe that the more we can heal ourselves and focus on ourselves, that as we do that healing, whether we have been in a relationship before or not, you and I, you know, have different experiences with that. And as we are entering this new relationship and trying to figure out how to step parent, that as we heal and process our own things, then it really creates a powerful base for a relationship. And we've been talking about that the whole time, but yeah. I really embrace like the, and I'm like even thinking what three things did I narrow it down to, but these are the three I usually go to. Is first of all, that gentle healing. We need to be gentle with ourselves. And it comes back to that grace, giving ourselves grace in that moment. And then being humble, which to me is being teachable, and being open to learning from our mistakes and learning from other people and all those things. And then go be boldly you. like embrace who you are. And in that being humble and learning, it's learning about ourselves and how we process and how we understand things. And then we get to go be boldly ourselves. And the more we are ourselves and in tune with who we are, the greater power we have to connect with other people. And it creates space for everybody in our lives to be themselves. That is like one of the most beautiful things I've seen in this process, is watching my stepdaughter as she's watched me be myself and also watched me not bash her mom or any of those things, but become a safe place. She now tells me everything. Like, she comes to me with everything, and she's moved in with us full time, which isn't like the goal. That isn't what I wanted for her. I want her to have a beautiful, loving relationship with her mom.
Of course.
But I am so glad she feels safe with us and safe in telling me those things. So being boldly you, however that looks like, it doesn't need to look like anybody else or anything else. It just needs to look like you, provides that space for everybody to be themselves and to love themselves. And so those are some of the things I focus on. I usually pick different ones depending on who I'm talking to. So you might hear something slightly different, and that's awesome, because there's so many things that can go into healing that are great places to start. And you never know which one's going to speak to you of like, oh, this is the little bit that I need to focus on now. Don't do it all at once. Pick a spot and just start with one little thing. So
I love it. I love your messaging, and you're always like such a shining light. And I love following you on Instagram because you always have the most fun posts. And I love the relationship that you've got with your husband and your ex. And so I'm going to put all your links in the show notes, including you've offered a free workbook for listeners. So I'm going to put a link to that in the show notes, but tell everybody where they can find you.
Yeah, so I am on basically all the social media platforms at Hey Jessica Frew. I also have a podcast that I host with my husband and my ex-husband, and it's called Husband in Law. Like I said, that's what they call each other.
So fun.
And so we go through and share all of our stories from when my first husband and I first got married and him coming out and the betrayal and all of the things through to where we are today. And so if you want, like I always say, it's like a true crime thing where you start at the beginning and you're like, what is happening? It's just really like, except that it ends a little happier than true crime. So that's good. But like, it's that same storyline of like, are you serious? They did that. And so you can find us there on any podcasting platform under Husband in Law. So
I love it. Well, this has been so much fun to have you back, and thank you so much for your time. And, it's so great to hear your story. And I love, 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 love the co-parenting that you do and the fact that y'all have a podcast together. And I just think it's amazing. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me.
That's it for this week. If you've enjoyed our chat, I hope you'll help spread the word. Share this episode with friends and head on over to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave me a review. And don't forget, for more great stepmom content, head on over to thiscustomlife.com and follow me on social media. Just search This Custom Life on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest. Until next time, you keep being you and know that we are in this together. See you here next week.